This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, hope you're all well. Welcome along to the Golf Podcast. On this Tuesday, it's Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you to look ahead to just the one event this week. It's the Omega European Masters on the European Tour, played at the wonderful Crans-sur-Sierre in Switzerland, and we'll get stuck into that event very shortly. But first, as ever, let's reflect on what we saw last week, and Gregory Bordy, first of all, winning in Wales at the Celtic Manor 2010 course with three stunning birdies, Mike. It was a particularly impressive finish to his event.
Yes, great performance by Bordy to close out that event in such tremendous style, and a deserved winner, no question about it. I thought Peter Uihlein was going to frustrate me, having tipped him the week before, and he missed the cut. Well, this week he nearly won, didn't he? So, but Bordy was certainly came home in fine style.
He did. He said in the press following that victory that his targets are to play in the Ryder Cup and to compete in major championships. He said he wants to especially make the Ryder Cup in 2018 when it's in his home country in France, played at the French Open golf course. Do you think he's at that level, Gregory Bordy?
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he'll be there, do you?
No, I don't think he'll be there.
I wish him all the best, but if someone was to offer me even money, I know which side I'd be on.
One man that might be there, Henrik Stenson.
He might be there.
Winner of the Deutsche Bank Championship. He deserves his success on the PGA Tour this season. Obviously, one of the most consistent players on the planet over the last couple of months. And it's his first win since the Players' Championship in 2009, outside the top 200.
It's his first win in the US, isn't it?
It is.
He has won in Europe.
It is, yes.
Yeah. He's just been in stunning form over the last few months. Thoroughly deserves a big victory. And we'll be aiming, I guess, to take home the $10 million pot, won't he, now?
Yeah, number one in the FedEx Cup rankings.
Yeah, he's been playing superbly. Nearly did us a big favour in the Open, obviously, when that rascal Phil Mickelson came and spoiled things, but it just shows you how his game is. A year or two ago, he's worse than me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very poor.
Was he that bad?
No, but he wasn't very good either.
He was ranked outside the top 200 at the start of the 2012 season.
I mean, he really was.
It's difficult to fathom, isn't it?
Strange, and it's happened. He's not the only player. It happened to Lee Westwood, had a similar collapse, didn't he, and bounced back. It's an amazing mental game, I suppose, and it just really is strange that someone can go so low and yet come back to almost. But you'd have to say, Dave, he's borderline the most informed player in the world at the moment, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Who's playing better than him? It's difficult to think, isn't it, really? When you look at his stats over the last, I would say certainly over the last 2 months,
yes,
have been amazing, you know. So on a whole different range of courses as well. So he really probably would be thinking he should have had more than the one win, but at least one's come eventually.
What did you make to the event as a whole, the Deutsche Bank Championship?
I'm not a massive fan of important tournaments where 20-odd under wins. I think it's too easy. Birdie fest, if you like.
Yeah.
They're not my favourite. Certainly not for betting, and just for watching, I just find it a little bit dull.
I presume conditions had a big part to play, but year in, year out, that event is a low-scoring event. But
did you like it?
No, I don't find it particularly appealing. I think I'm with you in events where, for instance, like the FedEx Cup Championship, where you expect the best players in the world to compete on the best golf courses, to compete on tough golf courses.
Yeah.
A bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
I'd rather see, not players struggle out there, but players having to play different types of shots.
I'm with you totally on that, Dave.
And it wasn't like that this week. It was just hit it as hard as you can, find it. And it's just target golf, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Which is not. It's not to me. It's just not that fascinating. So, I didn't watch an awful lot of it, in truth, Dave, because the picks that I had didn't go very well. I had a little bit on Stricker on the final night, give me each way a bit of a run for my money. So I watched more of it on the final night. But they just they don't grab you those events, I don't think, when people are just firing. Every time you go to another player, you know it's going to be a birdie when he takes a putt because they're only showing it because it's been hurled, and it just gets a little bit monotonous, I feel. I know lots of people say that the punters love to see people getting birdies, and it makes for great, exciting golf. Well, I'm not so sure it does.
No, I don't think so either. A couple of notable performances from a couple of our picks last week. Yousse Loughton played well in Wales, didn't hole many putts.
No, he didn't.
Probably held him back slightly. He's he's favourite this week in the European Masters. And Jordan Spieth continues to impress. Rookie on the PGA Tour. His third round was slightly disastrous, in fact. He made a couple of double bogeys in his third round, but came back with a Sunday 62 to put himself firmly in the President's Cup picture. Looking for one of those picks. Obviously,
I'd pick him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. It's a difficult decision, though, because you've got Dustin Johnson looking for a pick, Jim Furyk looking for a pick. Jim Furyk's in fantastic form at the moment as well.
He is, yeah.
I think Jordan Spieth will be in Fred Couples' mind, anyway.
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Because the President's Cup is different to the Ryder Cup in that they have a much better record in it. If it's the Ryder Cup, you might be inclined to say, look, we need to do something different here. But in the President's Cup, they do much better, don't they, America, USA. So maybe a Furyk and Johnson will play, but they probably do need to have some fresh blood for next year's Ryder Cup, and it's probably a good chance to get him some experience, isn't it?
Definitely.
He looks like a very, very good player, stating the obvious.
Shall we have a look at this week's event, then? We've got a week off as far as the FedEx Cup.
So
we've
got two
players
placed, Dave, yeah?
Yeah, a couple of players placed.
We didn't have that
nice.
Many bets, so that was all right.
Yeah,
we just about held our own then, didn't we? So let's try and do a bit better this week, eh?
Yousse Loughton 16-1 favourite for the Omega European Masters, and Miguel Angel Jimenez is 20-1 along with Paul Casey. Jamie Donaldson is 22-1, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño 25s, Mateo Manassero 25-1, also 25-1 Richard Sterney and Simon Dyson, 28-1 Francesco Molinari, and 33s and bigger the rest. This is one of the most iconic events on the European Tour, played at a wonderful venue. Crans-sur-Sierre has held the tournament, hosted the tournament since 1939, this golf course, and the Alps provide that stunning backdrop to the tournament. And looking back through past leaderboards here, Mike, the demands are clear. You've got to find fairways, you've got to find greens. It's a technical, short technical golf course, isn't it?
Yeah, course management is important, and also you've got to hold putts, I believe, because every year the winning score is around about the 20 under, isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm going to forget that. I don't like birdie fest.
It's a different type of birdie fest.
It's a different type of birdie fest. It's a picturesque birdie fest.
It is.
I do like this event, but contrary to what I've just said, in terms of the low score that you need to win it, but just I know it's a cliche, but it is so beautiful to watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you do need a little bit more than just whack it, grip it, and rip it.
It's a lot of different holes, isn't it?
Yes.
Some short par fours.
It's really interesting.
And you can get into trouble off the tee here. You've got to be in control of your game from the tee box, as far as I'm concerned. It is a fascinating event, and it is a great golf course. The golf course has undergone some extensive changes in the past year. They have invested quite a lot of money to change the golf course slightly. More than €2 million have been spent on renovating four of the holes, and most of the changes that have been implemented have involved adding hazards to the golf course to try and make the golf course more difficult. So it will be interesting to see on the Thursday how that affects the scoring.
It's four holes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it'll change it that much, do you? I would anticipate that the players who play well here, and it is a course where players seem to repeatedly do well, I wouldn't be put off by any of that.
Do you think course experience is a necessity here?
I don't think it's a necessity, Dave, because I think Roman Vettel was second here on his was it his debut last year? He certainly hadn't played here a lot. So I don't think it is a necessity, but whereas at some courses it's not a massive advantage, here I think it is an advantage, a significant advantage. Yes, I would favour players who've played here personally.
One of the major changes has been made to the 13th, which is one of the feature holes on the golf course, the par 3. A lake has been added there to protect the green, and the green's been lowered by 10 yards as well to allow more supporters to watch at that hole.
Do you think it What do you think?
I think it's important. You look back through.
You like experience here as well.
Yeah, I do like experience here. So. You look back through the last four winners of the event. Richie Ramsey, who won last year, having his fourth start at the event. Thomas Bjorn, 11th start at the event before winning it. He had performed really well at the event prior to that as well, in the early noughties. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 22nd start at the event when winning in 2010. And Alex Norren, who won in 2009, he was having his third start in the event. So I think...
Only his third start.
I think course form is...
It helps, doesn't
important
it?
Around this quirky track.
It is quirky. It's different. It's a different environment. It's something new in terms of how it looks to all the players. So you'd have to anticipate that that means it's more of a... more suited to those who are comfortable with it.
And performing at altitude's a different test, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Different indeed.
I've got three picks this week.
Yeah, so have I. We've only got one tournament. Yeah. I've gone for three as well.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
I've not got a coin, so you can go first.
Tails.
Let's just assume.
Yeah, I won. Greens in regulation and putting main things here, do you think, Dave?
Are you going for Manassero?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not. I looked long and hard at Matteo, but he's not been pulling up any trees of late, and I just thought maybe I'll leave him. I have to say, I've not gone for players at very big prices this week. I just couldn't spot any real value lower down the market. So there was a couple that I juggled with and contemplated. But my headline pick, and... unfortunately, he's been clipped this morning, which is very frustrating because I looked last night and thought that 25-1 was a good price about Miguel Angel Jimenez. Mm. He's 20s now, which is a little bit frustrating. But there you go. We don't do the podcast on a Monday, so not a lot we can do about that. Won here in 2010, as you said, and his form figures at Gran Sociedad are just exceptionally good. Third, fourth, first, ninth, and 11th in the last 5 years. I think he's really learnt the course inside out and has thrived here in recent years. I'm not sure his form figures were always as brilliant as that, but certainly in recent years he's nailed the course. And he's been in very good form other than last week's miscut in Wales, which doesn't bother me greatly after a little break. He was 13th in our Open, 4th at Bridgestone, the WGC event.
That was a great performance, wasn't it?
Yeah. 29th in the PGA, which again is a good performance, then the miscut in Wales. So, 20s, I wouldn't have gone any shorter than 20s, I have to be frank, but I just think his course form is exceptional, clearly, and he's one of the best players in the field, and for that reason, I'm going to give him a go at 20s.
Yeah, Miguel Angel Jimenez.
I can't see him out of the five, Dave,
He obviously absolutely loves the venue, and he has the experience here. I think it's his 25th appearance.
Amazing.
In the Omega European Masters, so... Miguel Angel Jimenez will be expecting a good run this week. I've gone for the defending champion,
Richie Ramsey.
Richie Ramsey, yeah. I
thought you might.
I don't mind the price at 40-1 either. Mm. These prices actually just changing right in front of my eyes now as we record this podcast at 1:30 on a Tuesday. You see that? Yeah. Almost every single. Well, a dozen of the top 20 in the betting all changed price there.
Yeah, that's quite weird, isn't it?
That's weird.
As it happens, one of the players that I just dropped has gone out to a price that tempts me, Dave.
Right, okay.
I'll have to mention that.
Let me just spin through these again. You can refer back, go back a couple of minutes and see how these have changed. You Slouten 18-1 now. And Miguel Angel Jimenez, unfortunately, his price
working
has
in the stock exchange this, David. It's forever changing.
Paul Casey's drifted slightly to 22s. Jamie Donaldson, 25-1. Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, 28-1 now. Matteo still 25-1. Richard Sterne, 25-1. Simon Dyson, 25-1. Francesco Molinari, 30-1.
I've cut one of my
Brett Rumford, 28-1. Are you kidding?
That's annoying, isn't it?
If only we'd recorded this
three minutes ago.
Yeah. My guy stayed the same. Richie Ramsey at 40-1 is my headline selection here, and I don't mind the price. 40-1. Some people might think it's a little bit tight. I think it's okay at 40-1.
It's okay at 40-1 for a defending champion. He was 10th last time out, wasn't he?
Yeah, and a very, very similar profile coming into this year's event as he did last year's event. Finished tied 6th at Glen Eagles after a poor spell last year before winning here. This year finished tied 10th after a poor spell. But what really caught my eye was last week he led the field in greens in regulation and was 6th in driving accuracy. Just the sort of player I want coming in here. On the season, he's 3rd in driving accuracy, 38th in greens in regulation. He's a guy that's talked repeatedly about his love for the venue, and he was outstanding here, winning last year by 4 shots, closing with a perfect 66. So Richie Ramsey, I think he's going to go really well again this week.
Hardly missed any greens in regulation here last year.
No, I think he was 81% at Glen Eagles as well for greens in reg. So 40-1, I think, is more than fair. And it's always the putter with Ramsey that lets him down, but obviously he knows these greens.
Yes.
Which is a positive, and he putted well here last year. So 40-1 is fair.
He was high on my list, Dave. It was just the defending champion thing. I just wonder whether he was... might be distracted a bit by that, but 40-1, you're probably willing to take the chance, aren't you? I would guess.
Definitely.
So now I couldn't knock you on that one at all. Just checking, this fella's price hasn't changed. No, it hasn't. I'm going for my second pick, and I was between I had another South African on my mind, but I'm going for Richard Sterney as my second pick. Sterney's been in really good form of late. Obviously had a little bit of a break. Hasn't played that much actually since the Open over here, but in that time did finish top 10 in the Bridgestone that we've referenced earlier, then missed the cut in the USPGA, which you can probably forgive him, but prior to that, good top 20, well, 21st actually in the Open, two tournaments before that was second in France, has won in Johannesburg this year and second in Dubai, with scores of minus 27 or 27 under, should I say, and 19 under. So I think that's very important for this week. I think you've got to be backing players who can go low, because you're going to have to get to 20, I would think, at least to win this week in this field. And Sterney can do that. A lot of his wins are decent scores like that, or when he does well. Top 50 for greens in regulation, top 25 for putts per round. Was 14th here in 2008. Doesn't have masses of course form, but has played it crucially, has some experience of the course. And I just think he's elevated his game this year, and hopefully will be chomping at the bit to... and go even lower at Crans Sierre.
Yeah, Richard Sterney in the betting at 25-1. You mentioned the field there momentarily. We talked about this. We've talked about this in the last couple of podcasts. In fact, the state of the European Tour at the moment.
This is a better field, though, Dave.
It is a better field, but we're still missing those Ryder Cuppers. Players like Stenson, McIlroy, Kiemer.
We are.
Donald, Poulter.
Absolutely, because of the FedEx playoffs, really, you'd have to say.
Do you think there needs to be a change in the structure?
There does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it continues like this, the European Tour will be in trouble in a year or two, won't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. And I think the events at the end of the season, obviously...
Ross Fisher's come back, mind you.
That's true.
For good? He's back for good, isn't he?
Is he back for good?
I believe so, yes, yeah. So, but
no,
there's just that gap that we've had recently, that kind of hiatus in the season is just...
I think the players know that they've got those co-sanctioned events, the events over in China at the back end of the season.
Yeah, they don't have to play that often.
They don't have to play that often in mainland Europe.
To keep their card, etc. So it's really, they do need to have a think at that. Well, and of course, we've got economies in Europe that are struggling, like Spain, where the number of events there, and there are hardly any now. You know, it's a question mark against the European Tour, which would be a big shame. It'll survive, obviously.
But we're losing a lot of the quality players.
We are, yeah. I really, really like Juice Luton. But should he really be favourite for this event? You wouldn't have anticipated. So it's quite a decent prize.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's telling, isn't it, I think?
It is. My second pick here, I'm going with Philip Aguilar as my second selection at 80-1, half a point each way on Philip Aguilar. Only one European Tour win, that came in the Indonesian Masters in 2008, but he's having a superb season, Philip Aguilar. 7 top tens on tour this year, and this is a venue he enjoys as well. Finished 6th here last year, 25th in 2011 and 14th in 2009. He's one of the guys that suffered with that big break on the European Tour. He had 6 weeks off before returning with a 39th, which was a decent finish at Wales to say he'd had that long off the golf course. What I like about Philip Aguilar is his stats stack up well here. 14th on tour in greens in regulation this season, 22nd in driving accuracy. I like this fella as a player, and I think 80-1's big, so I'll go half a point each way on Philippe Aguilar with good course form.
Felipe in Leeds, is he Philippe in
sorry,
Wakefield,
Felipe,
is it?
Felipe yeah. Aguilar, the Chilean.
He was on my list for first round leader.
What was he?
Yeah. Him and another chap who I might as well mention now, Adilson da Silva. Both very accurate. Everything you said there is bang on about Aguilar, Felipe, Philip, whatever he's called. I can talk, I can't even pronounce Juice Leeds. Adilson da Silva is a similar sort of player, very accurate, and in cracking form. He's got a couple of good finishes lately, and I could see both of those running well early doors. You know, they're good, they can.
What about Mark Foster?
Mark Foster, do him every week, don't you? First
he placed last week.
He did.
Full place last week on the first round leader match.
Did you put up his points?
No, I didn't put
up his
points.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, there you go. But he just does seem to... He seems to crop up on Thursday.
I'm not
early,
sure whether...
Early Friday, Foster, and that's it.
Those two... Well, I think these two players are a bit like it, Dave. I wish you well with Aguilar, but I just wonder whether he's going to... Is he good enough in this field to win,
I think so. You look back through...
Have a saving on him, first-round leader, Dave.
I think he's good enough to win.
Okay.
You look at some of his performances in better fields earlier on in the season. I mean, obviously he was playing better golf then. But he can win. He can win in this field without a doubt, in my opinion, Aguilar.
Okay. Oh yeah. Okay.
So I'll just stick with him. I'll stick with him on the outright.
Okay. Fair dues. But yeah, funny. Well, there you go, Dave. We're actually sitting next to each other rather than opposite today, so you can have a little look. First round leader.
Yeah.
There's another one actually as well. Frederick Anderson Head was another one I thought probably won't win, but does very well here.
Yes.
And often starts well, so I can see him going off first round leader bets. Now then, my final pick has just been cut in this amazing development during breaking news live during the podcast. Brett Rumford was 33-1, but is now 28-1, which is less than pleasing to lose 5 points in the last 5 minutes. Better get this out quickly, or else he'll be short still, won't he? He's a past winner here, Dave. 2007. Has won on tour twice already this season. It might be pushing it a little bit, for him to get a third win, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope he can do it. Remains in very good form with the sixth at Glen Eagles and an eighth in Wales on his last couple of outings after a miscut in the USPGA. All his five tour wins, and he does have five tour wins, have come with very low scores, double figure scores and high, you know, well in some of them into the 20 under and what have you.
Yep.
Again, that, without repeating myself, that's something that you're going to need here. You're going to need to be able to rack up the birdies because there are low scores necessary. Very good putter, top of the putts per round ranking and sixth in the putts per greens in reg ranking. His actual ball striking is the one thing that you've just got to be slightly wary of. He's not a big greens in regulation man, albeit last week and in Wales he was 26 in greens in regulation on that course, which is a good effort for him. So if he plays like that here and puts as well as he has been all year, I'm going to have a little go at him at 28-1.
28-1 for Brett Rumford, annoyingly, has been cut in price from 33-1. My final pick is Tongchai Zhaidi. He's my final pick at 50-1, the Thai player. He's played here five times and made the cut on all five occasions. What I like about Zhaidi around this golf course is his accurate iron play. That's one of his features, one of his strengths. He's not won this year, but finished second in the match play, has a couple of other good finishes, and he finished fifth in 2009 in a much stronger field than this week's field. Maintaining consistent form, Tongchai Zhaidi. So I'll go half a point each way on Zhaidi at 50-1 as my final of three picks.
Interesting that one, Dave. Yeah, he's.
We need to get something this week, don't we? With six selections.
Yes. Well, we got something last week.
Yeah, we did.
A couple of places.
We did.
So, that. Just a couple of players to mention, Dave. Matteo Manassero, goes without saying, was high on the list. Just thought that 25s might be about the right price for him this week, and I preferred Jimenez, who at the time was the same price. But he's got a third to his name here already in his career, and it's the kind of course that really he should be lapping up.
Yes, it is.
Luton should go very well. He's pushed out from 16s, I thought was a bit short. Well, in those magical changes earlier on, he was actually knocked out to 18-1, but still a little bit short.
Yeah,
you know, he was he was a bigger price last week in a lesser event and one where he's got better form as well. So I could leave him this week as much as I like him. Brandon Grace was on my mind, Dave, but 33 was the earlier price. He's now been pushed out to 40, which is half tempting, I have to say. I think he's the best player in the field. Maybe Manassero, I don't know.
Manassero's
better than him, yeah, that's a fair point. In the next 10 years. We played that game a few weeks ago, didn't we?
We did.
Who'll win the most money out of it? And I picked Gary Woodland.
You did.
I'm well
you
ahead
did.
In that game, aren't I?
You're ahead. I had you line.
Did you?
I think so.
But did he play in that field?
He did, in the Reno Tahoe? I think he did, didn't he?
I don't know. I think you're making that up. But anyway, Gary Woodland has won and had some big finishes since. In that field, you'd say Manassero is the one who's going to earn the most money for the rest of his career, wouldn't you? Agreed?
Paul Casey?
No. And I think Grace will earn more than him, than Casey.
Do you really?
Yeah. I like Casey, though. He'd be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Grace just hasn't any course form, to be fair, though, Dave. But his form isn't as bad as it looks this year. And I just think he's a very good player. He's a winner. So I would expect him to maybe make a run at this 40s. Could look big after the tournament.
Couple of guys that I want to mention. Thomas Bjorn, who I mentioned last week, maybe not still in good enough form to compete.
No, but I don't like him.
He's got great course form here. Fantastic player, 40-1. A winner here a couple of years ago. An Argentinian who's catching the eye, but we've gone bottom price. I mean, dead rock bottom, 50-1. Emiliano Grillo, who's making his debut here, which is a negative, hasn't won on tour, which is also a negative. Enough reasons to leave him at 50-1. But he's third in greens in regulation on tour this season, Grillo. He comes into this off the back of a 6th at Glen Eagles, followed by an 18th at the Hand of Wales Open. Really accurate off the tee as well. And not putting fantastically well
this
season.
That's key, though, isn't it?
It could be key.
This isn't just a greens in regulation course, is it? You've got to put really well here as well.
You do.
This week.
You do have to put really well here this week. But he's a top player, Grillo. Well, he's got the potential to be a top player. Yeah, he missed the cut. The Reno Tahoe Open.
Oh, well done, Dave. Yeah. I'm still about a million and a half.
You're still a long way ahead because of the demands of the...
Newline's a very good player, though, isn't he?
Yeah. I think he looks at
from a very wealthy family, obviously. Is it Titleist, his family?
Or? Yes.
So that removes a hell of a lot of pressure, you've got to guess, on a young player, hasn't it? He plays with a spring in his step and he's always great to watch. He could go well again at 40s this week. Arguably, that could be a reasonable price, you know.
One other guy, just one more mention, Michael Hoey, who I've got starred here. I know that you just had a little look
at him. I just had a look at him up on the internet, didn't I?
Yeah.
Just to see. Just the treble figure odds of 100-1 look a little bit big, don't they?
Yeah, you just never know when to pick him, though, do you?
No.
He wins or bombs out.
Randomly,
basically.
Doesn't he? But when he's on it, he really can win. And players like that are very
good.
Good
golf course for him.
Yeah,
I think
but his form isn't amazing here, but. You know, he's always a bigger price than he might be because of the fact that he's in and out so much, isn't
he?
Talented player. Interesting stuff. But genuinely, Dave, those Aguilar was on my first round leader radar and De Silva and Head. If Fredrik Andersen Head had been 100-1, I might have included him as an outsider, but 66, they've got his measure there.
Email from Mark Adsed as well, who is our golf compiler. He says, "Hi Mike and Dave, straight hitting and course management is key this week. Course experience is handy also. And nothing really jumped out at me apart from John Parry. In good form, fairly accurate and played here twice." He says, "Happy punting as well." It's nice of him, isn't it?
Mm.
Stop listening to the podcast now that it doesn't work upstairs.
No. Where is he working?
He is working upstairs.
Oh,
right. The audio doesn't
the audio doesn't
upstairs.
Work up there. Doesn't bother listening on the car.
Doesn't listen on the car, on the phone, at home.
What about a free lunch bet?
I'm a bit disappointed with that. We haven't had a free lunch bet in a while, have we?
We haven't had one, have we? So
let's have a free lunch bet. I suppose it's tough, isn't it, the free lunch bet this week? With you picking all the favourites, it's difficult to get a free lunch bet there.
I'm turning to Jeremy Chapman.
I'll tell you what, I'll take Richie Ramsey over Brett Rumford.
Okay. Oh, that's very noble of you. Yeah, yeah. 12 points difference there. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's good for me.
That's a fair bet. Yeah, yeah. Free lunch Monday bet. I'd be interested to see what do people think. Have I been harsh on Paul Casey there? Casey or Grace? Who gets the most career earnings? I'd be interested on Twitter what people say. I think I might get a bit of stick for that.
I think Casey. I think Casey.
I think
personally.
Most people will say that. Yeah.
But Grace has won multiple times.
Yes.
In the last.
Yeah, I'm talking from now on, not historically, obviously. You know, from now on, I wonder what people will say. I think most people will probably vote Casey there, and I might get told. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Well done as well to Steve Auger. Just before we leave, at Steve Pro Impact on Twitter, he's the winner of Golf Twitter Tipster for the month of August. Don't forget, make sure you start this week if you've not already. Check out Golf Twitter Tipster by going to the website www.golftwittertipster.co.uk.
It's too late to start now, Dave, isn't it?
It may maybe, but you can still get a month. You can still win a month, can't you?
That's true.
At Golf Twit Tipster on Twitter, building that golfing community, thanks to the sterling work the guys do on there.
They do.
So please do check that out, and we'll just recap our picks for this week.
Our selections of Jimenez. I'm going to point each way on all of these. Jimenez at 20s. Sterney at 25s and Rumford at 28s. Not one of them bigger than 32, and that's unusual for me, I have to say.
It is.
But
there you go.
That clipping Rumford down from double carpet 33-1
hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go 1.5 points each way on Richie Ramsey at 40-1. Pretty confident. And just half a point each way on the other two guys, Tongchai Zhaidi at 50-1 and Felipe, is it? Or Felipe,
I think.
One of the others. Aguilar.
Philip in Wakefield.
At 80-1. So half a point each way on those two guys. Who's the guy you don't want to win this week?
Well, we've mentioned so many.
Yes.
Brandon Grace, after all of that.
Brandon Grace.
Oh, Matty Monsenno. Or do you want to say?
Emiliano Grillo, I'll go for.
Right. You're like Louis Walsh at the end of X Factor. Yeah. I can't make a pick.
50-1 at Emiliano Grillo. I think if he was 80-1, I'd give him a shot.
You want to have a little saver on him. You don't want him winning, do you, at that price?
No, 50-1. But no course form, no winning form either, which is enough to put you
off. That would put me off, Dave, the course form. Just a little bit of experience, but yeah, I get it. Otherwise,
who's going to win the FedEx Cup?
Oh, good question. Matt Kuchar.
Okay. I think Stenson could do it. That's back next week anyway, the FedEx Cup. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week. It's at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham. If you want to follow us on Twitter, make sure you do that, please. And we'll be back for more golfing action next week. Thank you for listening to this week's Golf Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.